Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, 2016 is finally here. Are you guys as ready as we think the Patriots are?
This office is ready. Yeah. This is good stuff here.
Sure.
You upgrade up in the offseason? Yeah.
Oh, you know, always, you know, improving, always looking to improve the same way the Patriots are always trying to do. But the question is, have they improved since that AFC Championship loss in Denver?
I think they have. I think this is a talented team. We heard it from Bill Belichick all summer. He would list different positions almost on a daily basis. Tight end is as deep as he's ever had it here in New England. Safety's as deep as he's ever had it. Defensive line. And you put that all together, and I think it played out a little bit at final cuts. You see them cut a few guys that actually got claimed by other teams. So you could argue that they had 56, 57, 58 players on their team that were worthy of being on 53-man roster.
A lot of
so I think it's a good team.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I agree with Andy. A lot of competition at a lot of different spots. I don't know yet if it's going to turn out to be better than last year on the field. I think it certainly has the opportunity to be, especially defensively. I think defensively, what we saw in the summer, you know, with all the takeaways and things like that, I think it could be a special season for
us. But it all comes down to what it always comes down to, health. You know, we're going to talk about that for the next 17, 18 straight weeks. Who's playing this week? Who's dinged up? Who's at 80%? Who's at 30%? Because we've already seen it in the summer. Every time they had an injury, it felt like they sort of exhaled and got away with one. But at some point, do those start adding up?
If I were to have a headline right now, I would say signs point that the defense is ready, but there aren't any signs about the offense.
Yeah, I think the defense looked phenomenal. You know, some people kind of gave me a hard time on Twitter and social media that, you know, I said this a few years ago. Remember that game in Tampa where they were all over the place and it was Mayo and Andre Carter? They were being aggressive.
You were splitting votes for defensive player
yes.
of the year.
Well, this year the split votes will probably be between Dante Hightower and Jamie Collins for defensive player of the year. But no, I think this defense is as intriguing as any defense that the Patriots have had in a long time because of the versatility.
And I think you're right. When it comes to defense, that versatility, I think, will allow them to get the positive matchup on defense. But when you look at offense right now, we haven't seen the offense click, I think, at all during the preseason games. And that worries me. And then you add some of the nicks and bumps that guys are going through, and I'm wondering, is the offense ready?
Well, that's why I look at it. If I had a headline for right now, it would be Gronk, question mark. Where is he? You know, I know we normally don't see him in the preseason, but then he had that issue on the practice field where he pulls up a little bit lame, and you wonder, is he healthy? And I know he's back on the practice field, and that's great. But until I see Gronk out there dominating, because to me that can be key. You know, Jimmy Garoppolo in the preseason didn't have Gronk, and you guys all know I think Gronkowski steers this passing game. I think he is the guy when the game is on the line, whether it's Brady or Garoppolo, you're looking to Rob Gronkowski. So I want to see him out dominating again so I can say, okay, we can check that off.
I absolutely agree with both of you, and my headline would be the offensive line, the same headline that we closed 2015 with in the AFC Championship game. I've not seen anything that's really, caused me to lessen my concern. I know Dante's back, and I know we put a lot on his shoulders, and we all, the three of us, really respect him as much as any coach that's been in this league. But I'm just not sure he has the talent, and you know, they're still making moves. They're still tinkering with the lineup. I know he said he wanted to get five guys, but what I saw in terms of pass protection for Jimmy Garoppolo was not great in the preseason. So that's my number one concern.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing we talked about going into this season is running back, and we thought that they'd bring in somebody. Now they did bring in, you know, Bishop Sankey on the practice squad, and I assume that eventually he'll be elevated to the 53-man squad. But right now, we're talking about the same, you know, cast of characters that they had last year in front of a line that we're not sure has gotten better yet. So, you know, we always assume that the offense is going to be good on this Patriots team, but right now, we haven't seen the signs in the offseason that it actually will be.
You know, we're used to penciling in a top five offense, right?
Yep.
I'm not sure right now you just roll out of the gates and say that's top five.
No.
And it's funny because I think so much of that is going to go on Garoppolo's shoulders, and it's really not fair. And I'm not trying to make excuses for him before the season even starts, but, you know, he's dealing
with
a
bit of a quarterback apologist.
I am a quarterback apologist. There's no doubt about that. If you ever played the position, you'd know.
If you ever played it, you would have known.
But what I'm talking about with the running game, and I understand that this has always been a pass-first offense, but this seems a little bit, even more skewed to the fact that they're not going to be able to run the ball that effectively. And you said it, Freddie. I mean, Bishop Sankey, yeah, and I'm happy about that. And all the social media, you know, congratulations I got. I'm not sure he's going to be on the team in 2 weeks. They might bring him in, check him out for a little while on the practice squad and say, well, you know, he hasn't really panned out. He's no better than what we have. I don't know what the answer is for the number one running back on this team. I just think that I feel they need someone better than LeGarrette Blount, if I could actually speak.
Well, he did flash in some of the preseason games. He started off slow, but starting with that second preseason game,
He flashed both ways, I thought.
Really
I thought
did.
There were times where he looked horrific, falling down on short yardage plays, trying to bounce short yardage plays. I thought he looked a little loose with the football.
Fumbling the ball.
Put the ball on the ground a couple times. And then he had his typical big runs and some of that stuff, hurdling a guy. So he's kind of hot and cold, but I'm talking about can you rely on him? You're not looking for him necessarily to be hot and cold. I'd be looking for more consistency that I know I can count on week in and week out. I don't think you're going to have that in the backfield. I just don't.
Well, Paul, you were talking about the buzz that Sankey got on social media. But, Andy, you were also mentioning something you noticed on social media.
Yeah, right after cuts, it seemed a lot of people were surprised that Geno Grissom was one of the guys that didn't make the team. Just a second-year player, third-round pick, athletic. But if you're not going to have a role on defense, they can't keep you just for the kicking game when they already have a half-dozen kicking game type guys.
And they were able to get him through waivers, too, because he was immediately signed back to the practice squad. So I was with Andy. We talked about it, as he said, on the games. I just didn't see a home for him on defense.
But a lot of Twitter surprise seemed
well,
like, wow, they got him.
One of the craziest things I saw on social media during this preseason was the amazement on the playing time of Jimmy Garoppolo versus Tom Brady. I mean, I don't know where the hue and cry was, but, you know, it was very clear that Bill Belichick said right from the beginning, our focus is to get Jimmy Garoppolo ready for Arizona. And that's what he did, you know.
Well, that's where the argument comes in.
Up until the fourth game.
Did Brady play too much in the third game in Carolina when Jimmy Garoppolo may have used maybe a couple extra series?
If you remember that game, the series were very quick and very short. There were a lot of series in that first half. And I think if it had been a little different, I think Brady probably would have gone from four series down to three or two. But
well, you can put me on the side of the Twitter responders who think that Brady might have played too much in the preseason.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think to start this season, especially these first four games, I think we all agree that if the Patriots are going to go 4-0 or even 3-1, a lot of that burden is going to come on the shoulders of the defense.
Today's show is brought to you in part by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason?
Back for another season of From the Heart, where each week we will look at the matchups in the upcoming game. And this week, I think it's about the Patriots offense versus the Cardinals defense, and primarily the front versus the front. New England offensive line led by Nate Solder, who, by the way, limped off the field in the preseason finale. He's a little bit of a health concern heading into the opener. And we know this changes along the front. For the Cardinals, defensive front Chandler Jones, former Patriot, new home, looking to continue his Pro Bowl career as a pass rusher off the edge. And that front comes at the quarterback as much as any in the game. They blitz, they send 5 and 6 rushers. But the challenge isn't just about the offensive and defensive fronts. The back ends have their job too. We know about Jimmy Garoppolo. Is he ready for prime time? We're going to find out against a prime time defense. Patrick Peterson, Tyrann Mathieu, they are playmakers in the back end for the Cardinals. This is a Cardinals team that was second in the league in takeaways a year ago. They get a ton of interceptions. They do it from the front pressure to the back playmakers. Garoppolo, the Patriots pass catchers, need to be ready for that challenge.
We all know Bill Belichick will likely continue to tinker with his roster as he does each and every year. But one thing that really stuck out to me on his initial cut down to 53 were a couple of positions. Number one was wide receiver, a little bit short, only 4 guys on the active roster, and 2 of those, Danny Amendola coming off PUP, Malcolm Mitchell, the rookie, dealing with an elbow injury at less than 100%. So this was a little bit of a concern to me. It brought back memories of a couple years ago in Kansas City when they went really light with wide receivers in that game against the Chiefs, and I think it cost them. So something to keep an eye on. But conversely, tight ends, a little bit heavy there. 4 tight ends make the roster, including A.J. Derby and Clay Harbor, which I thought was the right move for Belichick. Maybe an indication that he might want to help out Jimmy Garoppolo a little bit more with some guys that can block, some guys that maybe can contribute in the running game as well. And we all know quarterbacks, young quarterbacks' best friend is a tight end. So you have a couple extra of those, maybe a little bit short on wide receiver. We'll see how it all plays out. So I'm going to have my eyes on those positions, wide receiver and tight ends, as we head to Sunday night. Now it's time for some trash talk.
Trash talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Time now for the always popular trash talk. Paul Perillo, you just talked about the roster spots used at wide receiver and tight end. Quite frankly, those things are irrelevant, in my opinion, if Jimmy Garoppolo in this offensive line doesn't deal with the pass rush from the Cardinals.
So what's it going to be? Just 5-on-5 or 6-on-6? Is everybody's involved?
I think it's really about those five up front stopping those five over there.
I get it. The protection worries me in this game, but it really isn't going to matter. As long as you can have the ability to get the ball out of Jimmy Garoppolo's hands quickly, that's what they do on offense. That's what they do when Tom Brady plays. That's what they're going to do when Jimmy plays. Get the ball out quick. As long as Gronkowski's healthy, Edelman's healthy, and you have these options, they'll be getting open quickly, and you can move the ball that way.
The Jimmy Garoppolo I saw in the preseason field fixated on the pressure, and I worry about that. I worry if he can ignore the pressure and have confidence that those guys up front are going to deal with it, or is he going to be that deer in headlights that we've seen with young quarterbacks? 2008, Matt Castle was the same thing. You wanted to get rid of the ball quickly. You thought that was the best way to do it, and Matt Castle would just freak out.
Hey, the guy's never played in a real game, so I can't sit here and tell you that I'm not worried about that at all. That would be foolish. We've never seen him handle the bright lights of the big stage, and we'll find out. I think there's a couple of things that they can do that he does very well. Number one, because I don't think they run the ball all that well. So I'm not really going to sit there and give you all that cliche, but I do think he's very good at getting the ball out quickly. I think he has the quick release, but also the screen game. And I think James White, maybe even DJ Foster, who knows? Some of these other guys, I think, what better way to beat a pass-rushing team than by hitting them with a couple of screens? And I also think, Andy, throw the ball on first down. Don't just sit there and try to say, well, we're going to try to keep it in manageable situations, stay out of third and longs. That's a recipe for disaster.
I love the tempo idea in theory because I do think that's where Jimmy Garoppolo feels
comfortable. I win.
No, not at all, because I think when you go up-tempo a little bit, and you get sacked or you lose yards and all of a sudden you're behind. Second and long, third. That comes quick. Now your defense is back on the field. That can snowball in a bad way on the road. You know what I mean? This is all great theory, but it gets down to me to one thing. The five guys up front need to be better than we've seen them be in recent memory.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think the coaching needs to be really on top of its game from Bill Belichick to Josh.
I'm okay with that.
For Bill Belichick to Josh McDaniels and Dante Scarnecchia, right on down. I think that the protection, maybe I put a little bit too much faith in that area, but I think the track record speaks for itself. I have very rarely seen a Dante Scarnecchia line just time after time after time get overwhelmed. I'm not saying it's never happened. Of course it's happened, but usually they fix the problem. So even if it's a little bit rocky at the start, I think they'll figure it out and they'll give him enough time. But I do think some of these tempo things that we're talking about, I think, fit right into the way Garoppolo plays best. And I think that's how they have to approach it.
Yeah, I just worry that the answer to fixing it is now we just worry about protecting the quarterback and not screwing up more so than making plays, scoring points. And, oh, by the way, trying to keep up with Carson Palmer and a pretty good offense on the other side of the field.
You're going to need
those
some
trenches,
help. No
that
question.
Trench warfare. If the Patriots can't win that up front, I think they're in trouble.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Minnesota Vikings were all about sending messages last week. When Teddy Bridgewater went down with a gruesome knee injury in practice, the message was clear. Let's take a break and get our heads right. They actually cut short the practice that day. Not the sort of we will fight on message one would expect from an NFL team. But with a new stadium to open and high hopes of being a serious postseason contender in his mind, GM Rick Spielman had to salvage his team's season and send the message that indeed, the Vikings have a roster that can support at least an adequate quarterback. So we called around the league looking for one. Trouble was, A, there aren't a lot of adequate quarterbacks who aren't already starting, and B, other GMs knew the Vikings were desperate. As Spielman said, they smell blood in the water. He finally settled on giving the Eagles a first-round draft pick for Sam Bradford. If that's the best deal he could find, I can only imagine what some of the other asking prices were from other teams. Bradford isn't worth a one, but the Vikings had no choice because they needed to send the message to their team and fans that no way were they giving up on the season. Hey, any fan base would want the same of their team. It was a high price to pay, but the right message to send.
Players' Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now in the Gillette Stadium locker room, Patriots cornerback Logan Ryan. Logan, we're on the eve of the season opener. Does it feel like it's been a long time coming, or has it snuck up on you?
It's a little bit in the middle. A lot of anticipation, definitely excited for the season to kick off and new things. But, you know, we still got some work to do this week and get our preparation for the Cardinals.
How much different is regular season football, regular season work week, compared to what you've been doing all summer, all off season?
It's similar. You know, the preseason, we try to prepare and get a routine, but now you know that the games are starting to count and the lights are on. So it's what you work all year for. So it's its own entity, but I think that we're prepared for it.
Pretty exciting matchup for fans because we have two conference finalists from a year ago, the Cardinals, very good football team in the NFC title game. What does that offense bring to the table to challenge you guys defensively?
I mean, they're great. They throw the ball a lot, which is good for us. They throw the ball downfield a lot, so it definitely gives them a lot of chances to make plays, and it gives us as a secondary and a defense a lot of chances to make plays. I mean, as a corner, this is the opportunities that you look forward to, and that's going to take a total team effort.
One of the focal points fans are going to have is Jimmy Garoppolo making his first career start on the offensive side of the ball. Defensively, is there any added pressure on you guys to be more stout, make more plays, try to score on your own, or do anything extra?
No, Carson Palmer, Larry Fitzgerald, Michael Floyd, all those guys, enough pressure, enough. So whatever Jimmy does is up to Jimmy, and whatever I do out there at the corner spot is up to me. So that's really how I got to look at it, and I got a big job in my own hands.
You mentioned earlier they push the ball down the field. They give you guys some opportunities to make plays. You're a guy that historically, if the ball is near you, you have a pretty good chance of coming down with it.
Yeah.
Why is that? Is that just luck, a knack, hard work, preparation? What is it?
A little bit of everything. Good luck is great, but a lot of practice, catching the balls on the jugs every single day. Really watching tons of film and studying and just trying to outstudy my opponent, which allows me, you know, to walk into the arena confident and feel like it's my field and feel like I'm able to go out there and run around and make a lot of plays, and it's a lot of fun.
I think in the past you have said you have the best hands of anybody in the secondary. You've added a rookie this year who's a punt returner, probably has pretty good hands. Still confident you have the best hands out there?
I'm trying to extend it to the team, so we'll see this year. I'm trying to go for best hands on the team. I kind of limited myself when I said secondary. We know defense, I have the best hands on defense, but we're trying to go, I'm trying to extend that to with the receivers and see what those guys want to talk about.
So maybe you, Edelman, Gronk, a catching contest, who has the best hands?
AJ Derby's honestly big competition right now from what I've seen. So I'll throw him in there, and then we'll see. You guys could target our drops throughout the year.
Okay, I got to bust your chops on one thing. All summer long, I saw you in a red jersey out there, which is sort of defined as a non-contact jersey.
Yeah.
Except I saw you hitting people, and they're not allowed to hit you. What's that all about?
It was all about my advantage, you know. I like the color red. I like how Tom and them look, and you know, I get to wear my red cleats and get to just switch it up a little bit, keep it light for the summer. But you know, I'm back to all blue, which is where people want me to be, is where I want to be, and they can hit me now. So
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, guys, it's time to do a little read and react, see what people are saying. This first reaction, I guess, comes from Gregorio Ladera. He says, wouldn't it be worthwhile to test Joe Tooney at right tackle with Cannon as a proven liability and Tooney with a good season at left tackle? Maybe it would be interesting to see him there.
I was a little curious that we didn't see Tooney at tackle at all this summer. Left, right, anything. He was pretty much slotted in at left guard, stayed there. He played both guard and left tackle, including his final year at left tackle, all conference at NC State. And I sort of agree. You've invested and you have some youth on the interior. You're getting a little older and you don't really have a developmental guy coming up through the system at tackle. But clearly they picked him with the idea that he was an interior player, and now they've decided it looks like left tackle is where he's going to be.
Well,
I mean left guard.
Left guard,
yes.
Right. Okay. Next one comes from Mackenzie Kirky. And he or she says, I don't understand why the Patriots cut Keyshawn Martin, especially since they gave him an extension back in January.
Yeah, this one was a little bit curious to me, too. They did give him some money. They did show a little bit of a commitment to him, and I do like his versatility. Also on special teams, I think he can fill in, you know, in a pinch as a returner as well. I thought he showed some ability to play inside and outside. I wouldn't be surprised to see him back at some point.
Christian King writes, after a very solid performance against the Panthers, do we loyal Patriots fans need to rein in our optimism for this defense, or can it really be a possible top five unit?
Hell yeah, it can be a top five unit. It was a top 10 unit last year, and we talked about it earlier in the show. I think there are more pieces, a little more experience. You have guys in contract years that are playing for big money, theoretically, so there's pretty good motivation there. I think this defense could be legit. The one thing I'll say is I think it's going to be more playmaking than stout, and that may be good for your ranking in points, but you might give up a few yards and then make some plays turnovers-wise.
It's still bend but don't break a little bit. I agree with Andy. But one thing that I want to add, it seems like Bill Belichick, Matt Patricia, the coaches, are really getting a little bit more accustomed to these kinds of athletes. Mm-hmm. We know that Bill has taken a lot of time and invested a lot of resources into overturning this defense. I think he's sort of figuring out how he wants to use Jamie Collins and Dante Hightower and some of these different pieces a little bit differently, and I think that's what leads to the takeaways. What do we have, 10 takeaways?
Yeah. Preseason,
the Patriots defense had in the preseason. I don't think that was an aberration.
I think, as we said early in the show, right, at this point, less questions about the defense than the offense.
Plus, don't be a wet blanket. You're supposed to have a lot of hope heading into a new season, right? Be excited now.
If not now, when?
Right.
All right, if you want to do a little reacting, you can email us at askpfw@patriots.com. Hit us up on our Twitter feed, or you can call Paul on his cell phone.
Anytime.